All right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire football podcast, MWR.com. That's our website. If you like the podcast and you somehow stumbled across instantly and like, what is this? Just hit the subscribe, follow, like, whatever you want, whatever you choose to, you know how it is, Matt, get the podcast directly to your face or your ears, I should say. That's more appropriate since it's audio medium.
Well, your ears are on your face, kind of, sort of.
Fair. It's on your head, right?
That's right.
So, yes, that's talking about Mountain West football, obviously. That's what we do here basically every week. And we're going to be back to more regular schedules, we promised last week. Mother's Day, got to, you know, I mean, got to take the time off for that. So today's Monday, we're recording this. And Matt, you set most of this up. Our staff voted power rankings, kind of going through each position group and ranking 1 through 12. And we have a consensus that, of course, nobody likes because the internet likes nothing. So we're going to try to defend and discuss and rationalize our picks from our staff and us individually too.
So, okay. So maybe to start this off then, you know, because the official title of this whole thought exercise is post spring practice position depth rankings. Mm-hmm. So what I'm curious about as someone else who voted on this, what kind of criteria did you set for yourself when you were determining sort of, you know, who you had higher up in the rankings versus those that you had lower?
A couple things. I think historical consistency played a part, like Air Force running backs, Air Force offensive line, San Diego State.
Precedence.
Yeah, essentially. I that wasn't my number one choice, but I'm like, oh, who's going to be good at running the ball? Well, Air Force is almost always a top three, if not the best rushing team in the conference, depending on which metrics you use. So I'm like, even though they're replacing multiple like starters on there, like they have John Lee Eldridge coming back, but they lose other running backs, other players with Jacoby Owens and others. It's like, okay, will they take a step back? Fine. Yeah, but they're probably still gonna be the best in the conference. So I do like a pass precedent for certain positions, specifically running backs, a big one, offensive line. Wide receivers interesting within a conference just because it kind of goes to quarterback, obviously, but I go along those lines. Transfers are hard because I'm like, there are so many transfers now because it's great players can move, but it's hard to keep track. And so like, who's come in? Like we had last year, Aiden Robbins from I forget where he came from, but
that's right. He came from Louisville and he wasn't, when we did this thought exercise last year, he wasn't a part of it.
Yeah. And now he's at BYU, like guys who transfer. And I know there's an NIU running back coming to Wyoming, but Wyoming's had good success the past couple of years with their depth for guys like Xavier Valade, you've had Titus Sweat, and then you have now who's it, DQ James, who played quite well like those couple games. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, who's good? And then they'll get transfers that come in. It's like, okay, is this guy gonna be good or not? Are they coming down a level? Are they coming up a level? Is it a lateral move from competition from like say the MAC or Sun Belt or lower level Big 12 or something? It's like that's hard to tell. It's like, okay, this guy had 600 yards rushing last year, was number two on the team, but he comes to a solid program in the Mountain West. Like, okay, how's he really going to fit? But so I kind of went with like, here's my thought about it. If you're typically good at this one position for the past 5+ years, you're probably going to be pretty good this year. So for me, that took a lot. Like quarterback position, it's interesting because who's had good quarterbacks the past couple years? Boise State's had a handful, even though Hank Bachmeyer's been whatever, but historically they've had good ones. We've had Fresno State with Derek Carr. You've had Jake Kaner last year. We've had New Mexico plays anybody and everybody, not very good. You've had Nevada with Cody Fajardo, pretty good, but last year, Nate Cox and others, Illingworth, not very good. Wyoming, historically, post Josh Allen, not really good. Utah State, Jordan Love, good. Cooper Legault, Logan Bonner. So I kind of go in that route to where if you've been good, odds are you're probably still pretty good. That's what I lean toward a bit. And also returning production is a big deal as well. So what about you? What do you consider like recruiting, transfers, past precedent? And like what do you kind of look at? Baseline?
I do think that your point about the transfer portal is a very good one because, you know, even as we're recording, you know, there are still players coming into the conference that weren't accounted for when I was, you know, tallying the totals on all of the things that we did last week. You know, case in point, Fresno State just landed a 4-star wide receiver transfer from Boston College, Jalen Gill, if memory serves. Same thing with Colorado State. You know, I think one of the questions, which we'll talk about more in detail, maybe a little bit, was, you know, we know the upside is there, but what about depth? Well, you know, they just picked up a wide receiver from SMU, Dylan Gaffney. So there are still moves being made. And so I do think of this as more of a snapshot than anything with, like, you know, admittedly a ton of lasting value. It's just to sort of generate conversation. And so when I was making decisions as far as who to rank where, I think the one thing I kept coming back to was, who do I think has more to prove at any given set of positions? And who do I think has less to prove? Or
It's a good way to
rather,
do it.
maybe alternatively, which groups appear more stable and or have more apparent upside, in my opinion, versus those who have maybe a few more question marks that need to get resolved throughout fall camp. So I try not to think of it in terms of good and bad, because obviously until everybody's on the field, we're not going to know that. But, you know, to your point about, you know, benefit of the doubt, I think I was definitely with you that, you know, there were some, you know, particulars where you kind of, yeah, like, you know, you don't want to assume too much, but you do give them the benefit of the doubt that, you know, they'll find worthwhile replacements at those positions.
Yeah, and it could be just, for example, just a tiebreaker in some scenarios. So it's, so where do you want to start? What position do we want to start with?
Let's give the people what they want. Let's start with quarterback.
Heck yeah, quarterbacks is definitely what we want. So there was, well, Chris Murray at Nevada Sports that put something out there about it. He doesn't think quarterback play is going to be that great this year, because couple years ago it was really good. Took a dip, guys getting drafted like Carr, and they had Garrett Grayson's way before then. But Pat, there's some good quarterbacks like the past couple years, but it's been hit or miss. I think there's hidden potential in this year, even though people, from what I could tell reading our comments or reading what people have written about, like what Chris Murray's done, I think it's not great on surface, but I think there is plenty of, if you, I'm not even squinting, like if you kind of look at it a particular way, there could be good quarterbacks. Like, for example, Clay Millen, who was the was one of the weirdest quarterback positions last year, or quarterback players, because he's, I believe, if you correct me if I'm wrong, he set the some sort of record for completion percentage, right? Like
Freshman
73%.
completion percentage, yes.
Yeah. He had a lot of swing passes, but also Torrey Horton going deep. So he's like a weird spot. Like he could have potential if the offensive line gets better, right? So I am, he's not my number one quarterback, but he's a guy, if you look at it hard enough, with having the best receiver in the conference, there's an argument to be made. There's a, like, this might be a long shot, but he could be, he's not my pick, but there's a, if you squint or look hard enough, he could be maybe the best quarterback in the conference with talent around him. Is that too far-fetched?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, we saw the flashes, the potential. Like, you know, what I think of in particular, I believe it was the third quarter of that Middle Tennessee State game, where, you know, they were down by a bunch by the time they finally got the offense going. But for those 15 minutes, you saw what Rams fans were hoping for. And you saw what, like, Jay Norvell was certainly hoping for. You know, the problem was, you know, as you know, we're going to talk about this ad nauseum, I'm sure, throughout the offseason, but he took a lot of hits. And
Oh,
then I
yeah.
think even more than that, which I think factors into these rankings, in my opinion, you know, when he missed a game or two in the middle of the year, granted, you know, some of it, you know, you have to sort of take it with a grain of salt, because the depth chart behind him last year was extremely young. You know, the
And he
two
was a
other guys
redshirt
that started
freshman.
games were both freshmen as well.
As yeah.
But, you know, the quarterback behind them, it was just like it was not pretty. They were not ready to play in that offense at that level. And so, you know, that's where that sort of, you know, there's definitely upside in a guy like Millen. But, you know, if he continues to take hits and maybe misses time, you know, a week or two again, what is that offense going to look like? There's still a lot of question marks behind him.
I think that he has the most upside of anybody in the conference to be the best quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that article that you mentioned that Murray wrote, and I don't know that I necessarily agree with it, Because I think
I
that there are
yeah.
some situations where, yeah, there's some turnover. Like, Fresno State, of course, is having to replace Jake Haener. Mikey Keene, UCF transfer, and Logan Fife, who started four games for the Bulldogs last year, seem like the likeliest candidates, especially when you consider two other quarterbacks at the transfer portal shortly after a spring practice wrapped up. Between them, a situation like UNLV, where everything that we said about Clay Millen to some extent, you could say the same things about Doug Brumfield. But I like his
Also,
backup, Cameron Friel, just a little bit more right now.
yeah, that's also true. I'm looking at Murray's piece. Does he not know who Cooper LeGuy is from Utah State?
Okay,
Because,
so let's talk about Utah State for a minute.
yeah, there's a lot going on, but here's what he says real quick, because I vehemently disagree with this. Utah, and I know the Utah State season was very Jekyll and Hyde, injuries and whatnot, and a lot of bad stuff going on. They finished strong, obviously. Utah State's quarterbacks threw 21 interceptions. I think six were in that Alabama game, I believe, or Weber State game, or maybe combined for both 10. And they said no last season, and no, and has no solidified options at a position entering the year. Garbage. Cooper LeGuy is a starter.
Yeah, I thought Blake
Is
Anderson
he?
already said he was probably going to be the starter.
It's the easiest call to make of anybody in the conference where there is a new starter coming in. Just about. Because is Logan Fife, is he starting for Fresno, or is there still potential may not be
No,
there?
it's still a competition between him and Keane.
Okay, that's a little fairly interesting. But overall, like anybody who has a new starting, new full-time starting quarterback, like that seemed the most obvious, and he's pretty good. I know they have Levi Williams, but he's super gutsy and stuff, and he had to come in at some point. And they have Davenport. Is he even on the roster anymore? Because you're
No,
three
he's
deep
in the
as of
transfer
yesterday.
portal.
Okay, I forgot about that. Portal's huge. But I remember Levi Williams came in. He had the injury, tried to like drag his way down the field, and one game late in the year did as good as he could. But like Cooper LeGuy's like he's the guy that's not even close. But that position, Utah State's offense was so weird last year. The whole team was because they get beat, blown up by Weber State. No shame in getting beaten your head in by Alabama. Just was not. They felt to be more competitive, which I did too. But they had that losing streak at the beginning. They shored it up at the end. But remember, these guys like running backs, Coleman Taylor Jr., other players were just receiving. I think a couple guys are transfer. Isn't Brian Cobbs a transfer portal? I believe.
No, he went to the pro ranks.
Okay, sorry, I apologize for that one. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. But it's a spot where they he okay, I'm good. I could say everybody's gonna be the best quarterback. Like Cooper LeGuy's been is pretty proven, almost more than not necessarily more than Clay Millen, but he's made big plays. And so
Yeah,
I think it's gonna
he's
be a position.
shown upside, but I think relative to some other
Yeah.
quarterbacks that are in the sort of same mix, he's definitely been more erratic in his time as a starter. Which I
You
think
think
mostly
so?
comes down to just, if he can cut down the turnovers, the Aggies are going to be in much better shape.
Yeah, that's where 21 interceptions comes in. They weren't all his, but it happens. So he has upside. Who else has upside? Doug Brumfield. I know you're basically in love with Doug Brumfield for what he can do when he plays. And they were six in the league. That seems way too low. Six.
If he's
Big if.
healthy. Which he's been banged up a little bit over the past couple of years. And so I think that is a particular situation, at least on paper, going into 2023, where that is sort of the one big concern that not a lot of other teams in the conference actually have right now. Like, there are teams that have like open quarterback competitions, like, Air Force, of course, having to replace with Hezzy Daniels. Nevada with the competition between Illingworth and Brendan Lewis, the Colorado transfer. A lot of other quarterback situations are set, but I think the Rebels in particular are the one that have the biggest sort of injury question mark. Like, I think if he stays healthy, there's no doubt that that offense can do things, but it got a lot shakier when he was sidelined last year.
Oh, it's true. Yeah, he was the reason they like when he's out there, he's good, obviously. Very good. When he's not playing, like it was 2 years ago when he was there rotating with was Justin Rogers or still trying to figure things out. He's clearly the best guy. We'll see with Brandon Marion's go-go offense what that comes to it with Barry Odom head coach, how they'll use him. So also interesting, Jalen Maiden, San Diego State quarterback, he's They were. I know why they're picked low, because I assume most people are choosing past precedent as some sort of indicator. Because Aztecs quarterbacks typically, obviously, Matt, we know, are not amazing. They're not all that great, but he made and showed a lot of potential. It's a lot. That's what this. I think that's could be the title of the quarterbacks. Mountain was quarterbacks potential. What do you got, or something like that, those lines? Because he
And I
could
think
be
you're
really good, really good. Like he, there's a chance. I know Jesse Matthews is gone. Who's it? Who's the other running quarter receiver?
Terrell Shavers.
Terrell Shavers. I was gonna say Terrell Suggs. I'm like, I know that's not correct at all. I'm like Terrell Shavers. Like those guys are gone. But what he can do with his legs, and there's times he's thrown for well over 200 plus yards, which is not always the norm for Aztec quarterbacks. If Brady Hoke could get something going there, the new OC they have in town, there's again there like there's been we look at potential, San Diego State potential, UNLV potential, CSU, Clay Millen potential. I am surprised Fresno's where they're at, but San Diego State, like, there's a chance if they could figure out the offense a little bit, which is a broken record, you could say every year the past 15 years, essentially when Ryan Lindley was around, because he's their new OC, correct? Ryan Lindley, former quarterback.
Yes.
So he likes to throw the ball. So, put two and two together, they're probably going to throw the ball more than they have since almost, well, maybe not when he was there, but close to it, or he'll want to start trending that direction. And if Maiden can do what he did end of last year, where he showed some flashes and brilliances and just indicators that he could throw the ball pretty well, that could be another spot where they could be a top four quarterback.
Okay, so here's one more question for you, and then maybe we should move on. Because one thing that isn't really illustrated in the articles is the fact that, at a glance, the overall voiding, I of course, did point totals and then just ranked and then a number of 1 through 12. But it did seem like there are sort of rough tiers at every position as far as like where the votes coalesced. So like at quarterback, for instance, it seems like the top two very obviously are Boise and San Jose State. And then you have another group of four or five, depending on how you want to cut it, from Utah State, Fresno, CSU, UNLV, SDSU. And then you have the bottom five, roughly, Hawaii, Nevada, New Mexico, Wyoming, and Air Force. So let me ask you this. Of those
Yes.
five teams at the bottom, which one do you think is most likely to most outperform expectations right now?
It's hard to quantify Air Force quarterback just because they don't
Like I
throw the
said,
ball very
you
well.
can use whatever definition you want.
I think the easy answer is Hawaii with Braden Traeger. Because here's why. Returning quarterback, Timmy Chang in year two. He's returning, obviously coming back for his next season head coach. Nevada, new quarterback. Honestly, how was I the only person to put New Mexico 12th at quarterback? Who put
Because I
the
think
Roger?
you're underestimating Dylan
Roger!
Hawkins.
Hold on. Roger, did you put him at number four? I'm asking. Seriously, text me if you put him at number four. I
I
am,
think
but.
you're underestimating Dylan Hopkins. He was one of the better quarterbacks in Conference USA for two straight years.
Yeah, Conference USA is terrible.
He is honestly, like on paper, maybe the best quarterback New Mexico has had in at least a decade.
I don't think that's a compliment you're making out to be.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, over the
I
past 2 years, he's had a completion rate with the with UAB above 60%, touchdown to interception rate, roughly 3 to 1. And he's working with the same offensive coordinator that he worked with in Birmingham because Bryant Vincent is the new Lobos offensive coordinator.
There. I'm kind of half kidding, but like typically, it's like it's been a revolving door, and I'm like, I have no trust with New Mexico quarterback. Maybe
I
he
mean,
breaks the mold,
I
and
can
I'm
understand where you're
wrong.
coming from, where when you say they got to prove something to me, but I definitely think that they are not last. Because I think you and a lot of other people were underselling Hopkins a little bit.
Probably, I would say out of those group, Hawaii, I think that's an easy choice because of Braden Traeger's been there for a while. Nevada, they showed me nothing last year. Wyoming, it's just weird. Adrian Peasley, not great, but like there's, you always see a little bit. And then,
I'm very
or I was,
lukewarm.
so am I, because it's also Craig Bowles, like, we're gonna throw the ball. I'm like, no, you're not. Quit lying to us. Quit telling us, quit force feeding us carrots and telling us chocolate or something. Come on, it's not the case. Air Force being last, it's just hard to upside. My answer is why. Is your answer to Mexico? I take it then.
I would say so, yeah. I think they did a really good job bringing in a quality quarterback through the portal.
That could definitely be the case. Let's go to the top real quick. Is Boise the clear cut? Because I don't think it is, even though it's close. I
No, I don't
freaking
think it's clear cut because I had San Jose State number one.
so did I. Shavon Cordero, like he's good. He's been there. He knows what's going on. Taylor Green could be, might be, potential's there because he's a freshman last year and started what 8 games, I believe it was, after Bachmar decided to transfer after the first month.
But
And
I will say that in my
yes.
opinion, it's because I like the Spartans' depth right now just a touch more than I like the Broncos.
Yeah, their receiving
Because
group and what
they
they
have a, you
have.
know, they have a backup in Walker Hughes, who's been in the system for a couple of years now. And they just brought in Jay Butterfield, the former Oregon quarterback, former 4-star commit, you know, landed him from the transfer portal. You know, obviously both teams have a lot of unknowns behind Cordero and Green. And I think, you know, obviously the hope is that, you know, neither of those guys is going to miss time. But I do think, at least on paper, that the Spartans would probably be in a little bit better shape if they had to turn to their QB2. And that's what gave them the edge to me.
Yeah, there's that. If you look at back, like if you look at backup depth wise overall, that's pretty good. I think Utah State has pretty good depth, even though I guess UNLV does as well because everybody's played. Like Cam Friel has played a bit. Utah State has Levi Williams, Cooper Lagah. Depth wise, those couple might be up there near San Jose State. Like if you had to go to QB two or three, maybe Hawaii with Joe Yellen there a little bit. But yeah, I think, but. Again, depth wise makes sense. But I think Cordero is potentially the better quarterback just if it's him versus Taylen Green right there. Taylen Green might, could be better, pop, maybe, but right now, preseason, what I've seen Cordero
I
doing,
could be
what.
convinced either way.
Yeah, I mean, so I just lean toward the guy who's done it more. So, try my. All right, what position next? We just go to running backs.
Yeah, we can do that.
So this one was pretty easy for me for number one because you. Are you? I've read some of your stuff. Some of I've been busy, but you've asked a question at the bottom, like what's the best position group or your favorite position group that may or may not be your team. Like overall, I put Boise State running back as like maybe the most deep position, but also you probably have my caveat if Jordan Trelawney can stay healthy, because that's always the thing the past little bit, past couple years. When he's out there and
Yeah,
ready to go.
I believe that was the consensus answer.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends, so for me, it's, you know, it's
Trying to
like
get them out of the house.
listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Yeah, because Ashton Gently, really, really good. George Trelawney, really good. And then obviously they run a bit with Taylen Green can run too. Typically, it could be Air Force, but with them losing players from last year, it's not clear cut because. Yeah, John Lee Eldridge is returning, but offensive line losing some
Well,
guys as we mentioned the portal, but it's tough to put anybody
and
above Boise for who they have.
the thing about the Broncos is like even the guys behind Helani and Genty are pretty rock solid too. Like Tyler Crow, Caden Dudley, both of those guys, like they didn't see nearly as much playing time as those top two, but you know, they both played really well. Like they weren't like a net negative when they saw the field or anything like that.
Yeah, their depth is crazy. And got teams like losing players, like kind of going through this. Like Fresno loses Jordan Mims, back to back top players leaving. Utah State losing Calvin Taylor Jr. I do see potentially where was UNLV ranked here? They are put near the kind of near the bottom.
Yeah, I think believe with, they were ninth overall.
Yeah. So 39 points, just one above Hawaii and New Mexico. I do think that potential with the go-go offense to think what potential could be there. Because remember Turner from Hawaii, not Calvin Tyler, but I get him right, Calvin Turner Jr., he was, I'm using air quotes, running back with Hawaii, but he caught the ball, he returned the ball, he got the ball in a million different ways, whether a toss or a quick screen or actually downfield passing. If they could find a guy who could do something in that area, because that's what they want to do with that type of offense. I know right now, who is it? Jordan, Young Humphrey, and you got Andrew Wimmer and Courtney Reese back there. I'm not saying those guys will be amazing, but with a type of different type of scheme, I could see them popping up and being higher. Plus, remember that Charles Williams and Lexington Thomas, they've had good running backs in the past where they can run the ball well. I know it's a new coach, new scheme, but there's a few of these players hanging around who've been with that running attack, whether offensive line, otherwise kind of tangentially related, to know that they have a good running game they have had in the past couple of years. So with this new offense, I think that could be a unit that could surprise people based on kind of scheme / surprise and taking advantage of what talent they have.
Yeah, I mean, the problem right now, in my opinion, is that like, all those guys you just mentioned, like none of them have proven it yet. Ironically enough, the three names that you mentioned, Young Humphrey, Wimmer, and Courtney Reese, those are the only three running backs on the roster right now.
Oh boy.
Which was the case, at least when we were doing this exercise. They have gone out and picked up, you know, at least one new player recently. They picked up Donovan Lester from William and Mary. So it's not like they're not making the effort to shore up the ranks, but that's one of those situations where there's a super amount of unknowns, especially since, you know, guys who were competing for the job, a number of them went into the portal. Spencer Briggs, Samuel Green, you know, Gary Corals, who, you know, was one of those guys who, you know, committed to UNLV in the winter and then bounced from UNLV in the spring. Not the only one in the conference, by the way. Yeah, as well as Robbins, who's now at BYU, and Javon Wilson. So there's still definitely a lot to sort out, and that's why I sort of hedged my bets, at least right now.
Yeah, I'm, you know, I definitely would too, but I just think there's potential surprise.
And I would also say the same is also true of Colorado State, but for very different reasons.
What reasons do you have?
Well, I mean, the main reason is that right now we don't know what Avery Morrow's status is going to be by the time the fall rolls around. You know, he had the arrest back in January. He's been suspended indefinitely. And so, you know, the guys who were seeing the majority of the playing time in spring were, you know, relative unknowns. Keegan Holes, Van Scheid. And I should have mentioned, too, they, too, have hit the transfer portal to try to remedy that. They brought in North Dakota State running back Kobe Johnson. So obviously, you know, the situation will be different by the time August rolls around. But I think both of those teams are in sort of that same situation where, yeah, they have the track record of having, you know, solid to very good running backs. But right now, there's still a lot of up in the air.
Very true. And also, going to pass president, San Diego State's number four. They haven't had a good running attack in the past, since 2019, really, if we're being honest?
It wasn't great last year.
It was not. Aren't they just kind of a reputation?
I mean, there may be something to that at this point, but I will say this. I think they're stacked at the position. And I think that, you know, if a team like Boise has, you know, the most obvious, you know, returning production and, you know, a very high ceiling, in my opinion, I sort of lump San Diego State and Air Force together, where, you know, obviously Air Force has the talent and Eldridge that has proven it. But I think at least to some maybe lesser extents, you could say the same thing about some guys that the Aztecs will have probably playing significant roles in the backfield. And I think particularly about Keenan Christen, who, you know, transferred from USC last year, you know, didn't see a ton of playing time early in the year, but he flashed a lot of explosiveness down the stretch. when he had the ball in his hands. You know, he had the big touchdown catch and run in the bowl game, if memory serves. And between him and Jalen Armstead, who's really sort of that big physical type running back, you know, Armstead is a guy who, if I'm not mistaken, has averaged over 5 yards a carry in sort of limited time over the first couple of years of his career. So between those two, plus the guys they have behind him, those two, you know, Cam Davis, you know, Lucky Avenger, there's a lot to like there if everything breaks right. I think, you know, what we saw last year, especially in the second half of the year, once, you know, they made the offensive coordinator switch, is the passing game really took off as the year progressed. Yeah. Struggled a little bit here with turnovers, but it was definitely a marked improvement as the year went on. Now it's the ground game's turn to get back to where it was.
Maybe I'm overvalued because remember that Donald Pumphrey, all these guys were the conference player of the years. So maybe mm-hmm. the expectation is sky high. Because I'm looking through like CFB stats the past few minutes here. Like this past year, 3.96 yards per play, seventh in the league. They are fourth in 21. 2020, they were fifth. 2019, do you want to guess where they were in yards per play running the ball in 2019?
Weren't they like dead last?
Basically, 3.41. So they've been a little bit better the past couple years, but like in 2018, they weren't great. So it's been a while since they've been elite, but they haven't necessarily really been like, maybe I'm overstating how bad because it could be partially Chance Bell, Greg Bell, all those injuries. Remember the short year, Greg Bell, they started off great, then he kind of faded off with injury in 2020. So it could be more mm-hmm. of a expecting they're going to dominate. They've been just okay. And last year, they weren't good at all. Last year, they were middle of the pack in most categories. So, but they haven't necessarily really been outright bad. And maybe I was kind of overstating, but it's a position where you think like, oh, there should be near the top of the conference more often than not. And so that's the spot where like, maybe hopefully they're stacked. Like you said, they'll be there. Cause if that's the case, and if Jalen Maiden can run a little bit, like he's and most likely throw more, like you mentioned with Lindley there, and could be a thing. San Jose State.
Hold on. No, I wanted to talk about the offensive line for a moment, because I do think that, you know, when you're talking about a ground game like San Diego State, you know, the running backs are one thing, but the offensive line is definitely another. So like, it's important to remember, and I'm sure I'll mention this during the team preview as well. The offensive line really scuffled a lot in some respects last year.
Definitely.
You know, like for example, just in terms of, you know, overall stuff rate, which is just the rate at which opponents get into your backfield. The Aztecs were 129th in the country. 25.2% of plays were stopped for zero or negative yardage. Power success rate, you know, short yardage situations, moving the chains for either a first down or a touchdown, 128th in the country. You know, and just in terms of like average line yards per carry, which is sort of an adjusted, you know, rushing, you know, yards per carry metric, 126th, which is why it made it somewhat surprising to me that they came out fourth in the rankings. I put them a little closer to the middle of the pack, personally.
Me too. There's a fifth and a seventh place, but I don't recall where I put them. Maybe I put them fourth.
But I do. But especially because, you know, they also lost Josh Simmons to the transfer portal, and he promptly ended up at Ohio State, of all places. So I do think that, you know, they obviously have, you know, a good deal of experience coming back. You know, they still have guys like, you know, Brandon Crenshaw Dixon, you know, Ross Ulugala-Masahuli. So it's not like they're starting from scratch. Cade Bennett's one of the better interior linemen anywhere in the Mountain West. But there's just enough questions that I didn't think that, you know, their ability to be back in the trenches was so clear cut.
Yeah, it could be a thing where, oh, the running game's usually pretty good. But yeah. I think middle of the pack, maybe fourth, they're almost three because Fresno was two points ahead.
Yeah.
And Wyoming was 9 points behind. So I bet I'm one of the six people put them fourth, but maybe that was just kind of like, okay, you got Air Force, you got Boise. Wyoming's pretty good. Maybe I put them fifth because I think Wyoming's offensive line is always good because we mentioned, who do they stick at running back? It doesn't matter the past 2.5 seasons, past 3 years.
Whoever. Actually, I believe you're the one who had them seventh.
Wyoming?
No, San Diego State.
Okay, maybe it was me. I don't recall. I'll stand by it because that's more in line with what we were talking about. I I still have my vote in front of me, so maybe I did. Let's say I did put them seventh. Maybe it was the case. Because what I said early on, running game hasn't been up to my expectations. So there you have it, Aztec fans. Send your hate mail to Matt K underscore FS on Twitter.
Oh, come on now.
I'm kidding. I had to throw that in there once. If I was, that's my reasoning for it, because it's not living up to expectations. But I think middle of the pack is fair. They're finished fourth, so maybe I brought them down a little bit, because if I put them any higher, they'd have been third. Mm-hmm. But it's just all kind of been, they've been just okay for running game and offensive line as well. So any other running back? I want to mention San Jose State. Do you have anything else on running backs to look at?
No, you can mention San Jose State.
Is Kyrie Robinson going to be the bane of my existence of yelling every week at the Spartans not winning because he has 12 carries for 22 yards?
He's definitely going to be one of the more important players anywhere in the conference, one way or another, especially since, we mentioned, a guy like Gary Quarles earlier, who, came into the Mountain West and then promptly left. So did Isaiah Fouts, former Montana State running back, was with the Spartans in the spring, hit the transfer portal, immediately landed at Kappa.
Yeah, which down the street. But yeah, he is very important. You're right, either way. When he did well last year, that typically it's dumb to say, if this running back does well, you do well. But there's at some point you got to be at least okay, because there can be running backs.
So just remember, you don't win when you run. You run when you win.
Yeah, because if he were to go 18 for 20 for 80, which is 400 carries, pretty good. Not amazing, but well above. Like, it's good. If he were to do like that every game, that's fine. But when he goes 44 yards on few carries or 100 plus yards on like pendulum swinging back and forth is not good for their offense. If he can at least be more consistent, obviously consistently better, that would be quite helpful for this team. Clearly, it makes sense to play. Duh, player plays well, your team plays well, but it's hard to navigate that when you can't trust or rely on a running back when it's third and two and you need that 1 yard, but everybody knows you're probably going to throw because nobody's biting on the play action because your running back is averaging 1.6 yards per carry this game on 10 attempts. So they need to have the more consistent. And that's how San Jose State, when we get to team previews and big stuff, like they're a team, what they have offensively with Chevon Cordero, potential with Kyrie Robinson, Justin Lockhart, wide receiver, Charles Ross, they have guys out there where they're a team, like they're going to be in contention for this upcoming season.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Any other running back talk we need to get to here?
Nothing that immediately comes to mind.
All right, where are we going?
I'm getting your sense of the pass catchers, wide receivers, and tight ends.
Okay. Can we just say Torrey Horton's the best receiver in a long time in the conference, and he should be preseason player of the year?
That's a bold take.
I want to be bold here. He is that good. Like, remember last year, I was debating postseason. I took a closer look near the end, but he was in contention for me to be literally the best player in the conference on offense. If Clay Millen...
I get it. Rams fans get it.
Yeah. Get on board. Join me. If Clay Millen improves in year two after with Jay Norvell and what we've seen, remember how long when Cody Fajardo took him, two seasons? Or Carson Strong, excuse me, not Cody Fajardo. Carson Strong, about 2 years to get going to really be an amazing chucking the ball to Romeo Dubs and everything, who's now catching passes for Aaron Rodgers, soon to be Jordan Love in a minute. That in potential could be there if Clay Millen improves throwing the ball downfield to Torrey Horton. He is that good a receiver, and I'm glad he stayed. And like they have other guys, Justice Ross Simmons, who did well, Lewis Brown. They have other guys. Down Holker transferred from BYU. Huge get for them. Because BYU is known, at least the past year or two, really good tight ends. So, their pass catching group, I am surprised. It's also a transfer thing, and I'm familiar with Holker probably more than others just from my day job with BYU and teams. So, I'm a little bit more familiar. And he transferred like early on. He was expected to be like the guy there for BYU, and he just, for some reason, peace out. I'm gone. I would have thought that people. I don't know who put them 10th. Maybe was that an error on somebody? I don't want to call anybody out, but somebody put the Rams receiving group at number 10. That seems a bit
extreme. There's always, there's outliers all over the place. I wouldn't think too much about it.
No, No, it's just it. Well, when they're number two and they get a 10th place vote, well, so did San Jose State. Fresno State got a 9th place vote. So you're correct. It's all over the place. So a vote here or there, just for whatever reason. There's good reason to people wherever are voting. But I think when you look at the top end talent, I don't think anybody's really that close. Boise State got number one. Stephen Cobbs is really good. And that was the thing of Boise last year. They lost Khalil Shakir. Stephen Cobbs comes in, does fine. They got Riley Smith at tight end. Billy Bowen's there. But there's, like, I want top-end guys. Like, looking throughout the whole league, Luke Weissong of New Mexico, he'll be pretty good. But, again, we don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, dude, okay, but here's the thing about Boise. Like, yeah, the three names you mentioned,
they're good.
Why I think they're number one, it is about the names you didn't mention.
Aaron McAllister. Insane
amount of depth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a guy like McAllister, you know, came in, you know, very highly regarded as a recruit a couple of years ago. And, you know, down the stretch last year, you started to see, you know, from the outside, oh, yeah, that's why he was so highly regarded.
But they don't, you know, they don't also,
you also didn't mention Latrell Caples, who was arguably the best wide receiver on the team down the stretch last year.
Yeah.
You know, Billy Bowens is still around. And then, you know, further down the depth chart, they get a guy like Austin Bolt coming back from a season-ending injury. You know, he generated a lot of buzz, you know, throughout the offseason last year. And, you know, another true freshman, Prince Strachan, who apparently started turning some heads in this spring. So, you know, that right there is like six or seven guys who could reasonably contribute at least, you know, 10, 20 catches and make that offense, you know, a diverse one that's hard to stop.
So what are we looking at here? What's your criteria? Do you want the best diverse offense? You want the go-to guy who's a playmaker to score anytime he touches the ball and a deep threat?
A little, I mean, ideally a little both.
That was remember, that's the question we had last year. Boy, shit, they have no go-to receiver. There's
they won, guys. They won 10 games. They didn't need it.
I know. I'm just, we're talking.
But again, it was a situation where it was different guys stepping up at different points. You know, one week it was Cobbs, another stretch it was Caples. You know, Eric McAllister would step in and have a big catch or two.
I hear you, but we're looking at the best. I don't know. Feel if you have the.
It's depth.
They're okay. You want depth? I want the guy who's going to go 8 for 125 and 3 touchdowns occasionally and have 1,000 yards receiving. That's all I'm saying. It's all I want the playmakers. They got good guys. I'm not denying that at all.
But that's the same reason why I think people were underselling UNLV here a little bit as well.
At what position? A receiver?
A wide receiver, tight end. Because, yes, losing Kyle Williams is going to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if that group stays healthy, they have as much upside as anybody in the conference. And I include Doug Brumfield, the quarterback, in that day.
Yeah, it's an offense. We don't know. It could be really good. It could be dynamic. It could be unique. It's going to be something people haven't seen.
Yeah, because Ricky White, of course, had the really hot, you know, September cool off a little bit down the stretch. You know, Jeff Weimer came in as, you know, top JUCO wide receiver. He was banged up, missed a good chunk of the year. Seneca McKee stepped up. He had a, you know, big play every so often. And they, you know, they brought in, you know, newer guys like Jacob DeJesus, another JUCO recruit from this recent recruiting class who had a big spring game for them. He could be like, you know, a significant player out of the slot for them. So it's an interesting group with a lot of upside. It's sort of that perfect blend of, you know, we saw just enough from this group last year, but it's also sort of balanced out by the fact that there's still, at least a few questions about, you know, health concerns here and there, and whether or not, you know, any one of them or collectively, will they be able to just take a step forward?
Yeah, that's it.
So the optimism that you had about the running back situation, I have that same kind of optimism about the pass catchers in Vegas.
It could be because at offense, we've seen what they did at Hawaii. We've seen where was he before? At Pitt, right? Last year?
Who was that?
Was it Brendan Marion at Pitt last year? Or no, Texas, sorry.
Yeah, he was at Pitt before that, I believe.
Yeah, Jordan Addison, heard of him. Pretty good. That was before Pat Narduzzi decided to hate offense again. And despite them winning and crushing their opponents with who is it? Kenny Pickett throwing to Jordan Addison, winning the Blitnikoff. It's like, I don't like offense, yeah, guys.
It was okay, though, because he got to make a star out of Xavier Worthy in Austin instead.
And Quinn Ewers as well. Like, their quarterbacks, it's all together. The offense, him being receivers coach, now OC. That's like, if we, maybe we should do an episode about like stuff, like just excitable stuff. Like, I cannot wait to see what UNLV can do this year offensively. It'll be, I think there's potential there to be exciting football.
I would agree.
So, what else we got for running backs here? Wide receiver, apologies. Wyoming, I don't care too much about because they don't throw the ball very well. Utah State, Terrell Vaughn and Micah Davis could be interesting a little bit, perhaps. But
it's nice to see Micah Davis back in the Mountain West.
It is, yeah. Took a brief reprieve somewhere, right? Sabbatical.
Iowa Western, I believe.
Something like that. So I think there's maybe some potential there. San Jose State, obviously, I think is going to be up there too, just because the quarterback situation. Justin Lockhart, really good. Mentioned Charles Ross. So they lost. Who transferred out, or they graduate? Cook, was it Elijah Cooks there last year?
Cooks is in the NFL now.
That's right. Yeah, I'm trying to think where he went.
Jermaine Braddock went to Portland State. Hamilton went to Washington State. Terrence Lovell went to the JUCO ranks.
That's true. What are your thoughts on San Diego State losing their top two guys last year? Because we had talked about them wanting to throw the ball more. Like, they had Mekhi Shaw back, Philippine Wesley, a couple other guys.
I had them ranked more last.
Yeah, I wonder if it's, oh boy.
Because it's a wait and see situation for me.
Yeah, they were put.
Because I think, you know, the one known quantity that I feel pretty good is gonna be a rock solid pass catcher for them is Mekhi Shaw. Had a very strong stretch run last year, a very good November. But other than that, you know, we have sort of hearsay of what they want to do. But we don't know, like, what that's actually going to look like when they try to execute it. Like, you know, I believe it was Kirk Kenny of the Union Tribune who mentioned that they want to have more two tight end sets. So, you know, Mark Redman is back. They have Cameron Harpole, who's listed as the other tight end, which, by the way, shout out to the Aztecs for being the one team in the Mountain West to put out an actual post-spring depth chart.
Woohoo!
Made my life a lot easier.
It totally did, so...
But beyond Shaw and Redmond, there's still a lot of uncertainty because we've seen flashes of potential, for example, from a guy like Breon Penny. You know, had a big spring game last year, you know, had another strong spring this year, but, you know, hasn't had the playing time to really demonstrate it on the field yet. And I have to imagine that he's going to get every opportunity to carve out a role for himself. Same with a guy like Josh Nicholson. Same with a guy like Raphael Williams, who comes in from the D2 ranks. So, I mean, there are some interesting pieces there. But right now, the Aztecs just carry a lot more uncertainty than I think a lot of other people thought.
Exactly. I agree. So what about the Mexico last team here? Because you're high on the UAB guys coming in to be coaches and quarterbacks. Is there a potential for surprise there if things go at least somewhat to play? Because they were 11th, they were tied for 11th and not even close to anybody else receiver group them in Wyoming.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how many of the new transfer portal imports are, you know, bullseyes for them. Because, you know, you mentioned Luke Weissong earlier, you know, their leading receiver from last year. He's back, which is a good thing. So is Deuce Jones. But I think there's the potential that most of the major contributors to this passing game are going to be newcomers. You know, DJ Washington and Caleb Medford, both of which I believe were in from TCU. Jeremiah Hickson, you know, Ryan Davis, who like Hopkins, the quarterback, came in from UAB. So it's an interesting mix, but it's the same kind of situation where, you know, the passing, it wasn't only the quarterbacks that struggled last year for the Lobos. And so much like I just said with the Aztecs, I'm sort of taking a wait and see mode of there's upside here. Same as there is on the Mesa. But obviously I'm going to need to see it on the field first.
Yeah, it's again, that's why maybe I put their quarterback and other positions lower at the bottom. I was kind of curious. Like, most people were not high on them because unknown. And what do you want? Do you want potential? Do you want what we've seen? It's kind of it's tricky to see what's going on for what you really, what's known or not known or what could be. So it's not a bad spot for them to be on. They'll probably, I can see them overachieving that 11 spot, I think, but I think it's where it really needs to be. But I think there's potential there to maybe move up ahead of like maybe Air Force, possibly.
So we need to talk defense now.
No, are we good on offensive line? I guess we kind of went through that with the running back.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about it.
Okay, yeah, let's go defense. What position group do you want to start there?
Well, you know what? Let's start in the trenches. Let's start with the defensive line.
Defensive line. So out of our group, we had not necessarily sort of tiers, but the bottom three were way out there, like New Mexico, Nevada, Hawaii near the bottom. The top three, you had Boise, good 10 points over Fresno, Shannon State pretty close, and after that kind of gap widens, like, well, I mean, CSU, Air Force, San Jose State, Utah State, and that's kind of the – and then big drop off to Utah State. I guess I could include – or excuse me, UNLV from Utah State. I could include the Rebels near the bottom. What is it that makes Boise near the top? Is it just because of what they have coming back, which is probably the case in most opinion, but also, again, their defense has kind of outshined their offense the past couple of years, either at worst the same – or even better for the past, like I said, handful of years with the current coaching staff and going back to Brian Harsin before. It's been, I think, it shouldn't be underrated from a group from us. We know what it is, but kind of nationally, it's like, oh, their defense, whatever. Oh, they have this guy, Leighton Vander, she's pretty good. Or Jael Skinner, they're not bad. But they're actually, like I said, outdoing their offense occasionally. And they have guys like you have Ahmad Hush. I can't speak today. I have a stuffy nose at the moment. Oh, my gosh. I'm done.
Ahmed Hassanein.
It's like I'm about to sneeze as I'm saying his name because I have a stuffy nose. I'm like, him and Herbert Gums, the guys there, and they've done it. That's part of the reason why they're that high. I think they've been there and done that, and that's why four people put them first place. Like, for what they can do, stopping the run and going after QBs, I think they're deservingly to be near the top or at the top in this case.
Okay, so to answer your original question, why do people put Boise at the top? My official answer is I don't know. And this is where you can imagine me pounding my desk with a shoe like Nikita Khrushchev, because if I have one single conviction in this entire thought exercise, it is that my fellow writers at MWWire.com criminally underrated Wyoming's defensive line.
Three people put in first place.
Not nearly enough.
Not enough. What makes Wyoming the best? Your opinion, the best defensive line.
Yes. Give me the facts. They're losing Oluwaseyi Omotosho to Oregon State.
It's a big loss.
But they're bringing everybody else back.
Easton Gibbs is amazing.
They're even getting contributors back this year. Like, Devon Harris is still there. He was super productive last year. So was Braden Siders. Cole Godbout, even despite being banged up pretty much all year long.
I apologize. I was going down the list. I went down the linebacker, because I was scrolling straight up, not left to right. So those guys are linebackers. We'll get to later. Apologies. Yes.
But I think that the important thing that maybe people overlooked is, you know, all those guys I just mentioned, they're all back for 2023, and Cowboys are getting a pair of defenders who were expected to contribute last year back from season-ending injuries as well. Sebastian Harsh, and Keelan Cox. Like, you're looking at a defensive line that is legitimately like a legit 7-8 deep. And in my opinion, you know, the way that people talk about Boise State's running backs, we should be talking about Wyoming's defensive line in the exact same way.
Is this why that
I very rarely feel this strongly about things, but I feel very strongly about this.
Sure, you're typically very level-headed about this type of stuff, unlike me, who goes wild predictions here or there just to do something. But is this why that one website or Twitter put like Wyoming to potential win the conference with like 6.3 wins or something?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a big reason, because they just need the offense to be functional. If the defense, especially on the line, can do its job. I think the one major question, which again, we'll probably talk about this more as we get into team previews later in the summer, But the one thing that Wyoming can have to work on is shoring up their run defense, because they were much better at getting after the quarterback than they were at being disruptive in general.
Yeah, because overall, just real quick from my story, the yards per play, they were just okay at 5.35. So while you're right, like while they get after the quarterback and they make plays that way, they still got to stop. You know the point of football, Matt, to not allow them to get 10 yards in three plays or four plays or fewer. Wyoming needs to do a better job of that, because it could be 3rd and 18. Well, they get the 19 yards. Sorry, guys. They kind of need to, you know, not give up the yards. So get the quarterback and the running back. It's kind of a they go hand in hand to have your defense be elite, not just really good.
And I do think to a certain lesser extent that people underrated Colorado State's defensive line a little bit too.
Why is that? Because their win-loss record wasn't great?
I think it got lost in the win-loss record that the defense actually improved quite a bit over the course of the year. And, you know, while, you know, losing CJ Onyeche is going to hurt, you know, Muhammad Kamara is still back. He is very clearly one of the more effective pass rushers anywhere in the conference. And, you know, one of the nice things about this thought exercise is that I got to learn a little bit more about guys that I definitely want to like take a closer look at or keep an eye on as like potential breakout candidates. And one of those guys, maybe I should have been mentioning him earlier. Maybe I'll save him for the team previews. But in this particular case, I'll just give you a name to keep an eye on. Brady Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Brady Kelly. All right, then. I would say the one area they need to improve on, I know it's not a defense line, but their running attack defense needs to be better. 24 rushing touchdowns given up last year. They had four games with three or more touchdowns allowed. Yeah, one was Michigan, but also Sacramento State. I know they're a very good SCS team. Five to Boise State, three to Air Force. Mm-hmm. They gave up a lot of yards, Utah State, like only one TD, but that was their, I believe, their second most yards allowed per game. They had 5.14. They had four games over 5 yards per carry allowed per game, so that needs to shore up, and maybe that will be the case, but that 24 touchdowns was allowed was second worst in the conference from last year, and so that needs to, if it's going to get those expectations you think could be, that's one area where they got to kind of like, well, maybe we should stop the run too. Don't let them get two plays in the first down. So there's yeah,
I
mean, a lot.
I think in general, defensive line, I honestly think it's like Wyoming and everybody else. Because, you know, nearly every other team in the conference has at least like one big question mark that they're going to have to solve. You know, like in the case of, you know, teams like Fresno and Nevada, who I had at 2 and 12, respectively. You know, the Bulldogs are going to have to figure out how to replace David Perales' production, but Nevada's going to have to do the same thing with Don Peterson.
Yeah, your favorite guy ever, Don Peterson.
he's an all-time great.
He is.
In Wolfpack history. Let's just leave it at that. Kidding. But, you know, same thing with, like, San Jose State, which has to replace two former defensive players of the year.
Yep.
And San Diego State, you know, having to replace both Keshawn Banks and the Tavai brothers.
Well, they do get Trey Smith back for the Spartans. That's helpful.
Yes.
He's really good. But, yeah, I think you convinced me why. Well, I mean, I should put the number one. I think I put them fourth for some reason. I don't know what I was thinking there. All right, linebacker. What do we have there? The ranking, again, puts Boise State number one by quite a large margin with 100 total points with guys like Demetri Washington, DJ Schramm, obviously, we know who's really, really, really good. Do you have any contrarian views about that? Are they not your number one pick? Do you have some random team people aren't looking at that should be higher or number one?
No, in this particular case, I did have Boise number one.
But as in four other people, I think DJ Schramm is really good. He's going to be, obviously, a potential player of the year on the defense side of the ball for what he did last year. I think that's a real possibility. And then you have, like,
no, I mean, I think in this case, you know, I think with linebacker in particular, even and again, this is an area where there are still a number of teams undergoing a lot of turnover in there. But there were some really tough decisions made up and down this. And I think that, you know, that sort of shows in the fact that, you know, yeah, Boise's number one, but they didn't necessarily run away with it like they did in some other respects. You know, a lot of other teams are sort of coalesced near the top. Like, you know, San Diego State, for example, was number two. And I think that's with good reason, because even if they're losing Caden McDonald, they still have his brother Cooper. They brought in Cody Moon from New Mexico. You know, they broke in, you know, Zaris Piasau, who, you know, started, you know, most of the games in the second half of last season. So yeah, they're going to have, like, you know, new faces starting the majority of their games in that unit, but they're not starting from zero. You know, same thing with Air Force. You know, they're, you know, the Falcons are losing both Vince Sanford and TD Blackman, but Bo Richter is still there, probably going to move from the inside to the outside and could be just as good as Sanford was. You know, they still have Alec Mock. They still have other guys who could step up and replace those guys. You know, Fresno still has both Malachi Langley and Lavelle Bailey. Wyoming, who you mentioned earlier, still has Easton Gibbs and Shea Suiunoa, and has guys who might be pushing him for playing time. If you want to believe, you know, the Casper Star Tribune and 7220 Sports, you know, Connor Shea had a big spring. Cole DiMarzo is still there. So even if there's a lot of, you know, guys who are leaving the Mountain West for one reason or another, I would wager that linebacker might be the deepest overall position of any of the units that we're talking about.
I can see that, because we've been in touch with Air Force and people put them number three overall.
Yeah.
Like, there, you're, Wyoming's, there's a lot of guys, like Air Force.
Real, yeah. Quick, and that's Alec true. Bach. Even if teams further down the rankings, like, you know, New Mexico was, you know, sort of middle of the pack. I think they were eighth overall, if I'm not mistaken. But it's easy to overlook. They got hit hard by injuries last year. You know, Ray Lutelli missed time. Sayre Riley missed time. Alec Marenko had a season-ending injury. All three of those guys are back. Plus, they brought in guys from the JUCO ranks. UNLV is getting Brennan Scott back. You know, Utah State still has both of their starters, at least, in MJ Tapisi and probably Max Alford. You know, Nevada, you know, even Nevada at number 10 still has all of their linebackers back. You know, Naki Mateola, I mispronounced that, I apologize, Mataalona and Drew Watts. It's so there's a lot, but and I would also say, because I do think that the linebacker corps are the deepest units in the Mountain West, I also think it is the likeliest place where a lot of teams could outperform their standing here. Like, even Colorado State, which, you know, comes in dead last here, is returning, you know, both Drew Kulik and Chase Wilson, who both got a lot of playing time in the second half of the year. So yeah, it's going to be tough to replace all of DeQuan Jackson's and Cameron Carter's production. Definitely. But it also would not surprise me, given what, you know, their DC Freddie Banks was able to do last year, if both of those guys stepped up big time and it were at least solid contributors in their first full years as starters.
This will be a fun group to watch. Like,
yes,
you know, Fresno has Hawaii, so it, like, we'll see what goes. All right, secondary, is that where we're at next? Quarterbacks, secondary.
Yes.
So I almost put Air Force too low because I forgot Camby Goff was returning. He is, what do we say, quite good at this position, right, Matthew? Didn't he make was he some, like, All American list, like PFF honorable mention or something like that last year?
I believe so. Yeah. I mean, I think honestly, like, right now, he and Trey Taylor are probably the best safety tandem in the Mountain West.
That makes sense. Yeah. And people put them overall. We had them at what, fourth?
Fourth.
Fourth overall. A wide spectrum. We had second place, third place, eighth, and 10th place votes. So they're in the running to be the best, because you take out, like, kind of the best and the worst, they would be probably a little bit higher. But same with UNLV, they had ninth place.
Yeah. Not a lot of separation from, like, 2 to 6, though.
Yeah, because 2 at 86. Which was, real quick, Fresno, UNLV 78, Air Force 75, San Diego State 72, CSU 67. So that middle three, basically 2 or 3 through, like, 6 or 7, or right, or 6, I should say, are pretty close. Because San Jose State, they've had, I wonder if I put number one. I may have been that guy. I don't recall. But they have, like, Trey Jenkins. They have all these guys returning. Their secondary has always been good in the past. Even when they're not good as a team, they were really good. I know it's fun to say, like, interesting to say, oh, their passing game's good because their running game is so terrible. Yeah, they didn't give up many yards, but also, like, their yards per play allowed were always pretty good. So that's a unit where they're not as good as they used to be, but they're up there to be one of the best in the conference, even though the voting wise put them, they're still in that range where they're pretty close to, they're more in the middle of the pack, but they have some good players out there. Like this whole area we watch, like who could be good. Fresno State with Cam Lockridge. You have Carlton Johnson. They returned what? They returned the whole secondary. Is that, am I correct on that, reading this right here, Matt? Carlton Johnson, Lockridge.
Yeah, Evan Williams transferred to Oregon.
Oh, that's right, Oregon. Okay, yeah, sorry. I knew I was missing one guy. Like that unit returns most of their guys, and why can't they be one of the best in conference? They're number two. They're right there. But they're like the – and it's going to go back to the quarterback thing. Is okay, why aren't the quarterbacks as amazing, even though I think there's potential? Well, secondary guys are making plays back there. Like when you see who's getting interceptions, who's getting pass breakup, like Utah State still has Ike Larson, who has an awesome taco time deal, which I maybe need to take the drive to Logan to get his meal, see what it's all about. Logan, FYI, you talk about Twitter, but it's still a good 80 miles for me. It's not like it's down the street, just so you know. I'm not that, even though I was nearby, I was nearby a week ago by enough time. I was halfway there. I'm like, oh, I could go to the taco time in Logan and see what's going on. But they have, like, they have great players. Like, Ike Larson is one of the guys who was, like, I forget what stat it was last year, but they didn't have, like, some absurd PBU record or PBU, what, best freshman in the conference last year or nationally for breakups. He had some ridiculous stat. I don't recall what it was. But he was an underrated player for sure all of last year for the Aggies, not just on the team, but in general for the Mountain West.
Yeah, I think the problem for the Aggies right now, though, is it's Ike Larson and Michael Onyanwu, who's, you know, he's fine. And then question mark?
Yeah.
I think Utah State is sort of an interest. Like we haven't really talked about the Aggies on the aggregate, and we may not get to it in this podcast, but I think there are reasons to be optimistic about certain other areas on both offense and defense, even despite the fact that they've been hit maybe harder than anybody by the transfer portal so far this offseason. But I would not count the secondary in that group. I think of the position groups on this team as currently constructed, the secondary to me is the most glaring red flag.
For Utah State?
Yes.
Yeah, I could see that. They've got good players. It's depth is a real thing. We need that. You want depth to overall make your you know, make your team pretty good. You want to have those guys step through your first, second guy. What other secondary groups are you looking at that could be like, hey, they're going to surprise or they're going to be just really good, I guess, yeah, either of those areas, which kind of encompasses the whole conference.
I mean, I'm interested in the one team that we haven't really mentioned a whole lot so far, and that's Hawaii.
Yeah, Cam Stone back there, yeah.
Yeah, they brought in Cam Stone from Wyoming to the transfer portal. They returned Peter Manuma, who was very quietly one of the better freshmen anywhere in the conference so far in 2022. And they might be a little bit deeper than you realize, especially if they can stay healthy. And that was sort of the rub for them last year where, you know, case in point, Mataki Thompson, you know, emerged as a starter, as a true freshman at the start of the season. And I think he played like three or four games before he was out for the rest of the year with a season ending injury. But, you know, if he's back, you know, they have Riddle Edwards, who was a rock solid cornerback. They brought in a couple pieces from the transfer portal, like Justin Prince, Justin Sinclair. So that's a unit where, you know, on paper, it sort of flies under the radar right now. I think they came in dead last and are voting. But I have a hunch that they're not going to finish last when all is said and done in December.
So who's going to finish last then? You want to divulge that information?
I haven't.
That's fine.
I'm not willing to make that prediction just yet. Okay. Give me a couple months. I'll get back to you.
And that's all good. All right, let's wrap up with special teams.
All right.
We didn't do returner. We did kicker and punter.
Yeah.
Do you need to mention your error on New Mexico before we begin?
Yeah. My apologies to the oh, my God. How do you pronounce his name? Drzewicki, I believe that's how you pronounce it. My apologies to him and his family for, and this is, I'm like with tongue firmly in cheek, I'm blaming Frank Percogliano, the SID. And I say this because I was pouring through the rosters on every single pay on every single team when I was looking at this. So they have three players listed as like a as kickers, right?
Yeah.
But you know, Jezrecki was listed as place kicker.
Interesting. Okay.
So it was listed as PK rather than K.
They're too specific.
So that's my excuse. I'm passing the buck.
They're doing too good of a job of labeling players.
Yeah, exactly. but I mean, what's always interesting about the specialist rankings in particular is like, how do you weigh very different responsibilities? And I think, you know, we mentioned very briefly San Diego State, you know, the Jack Browning show, number one overall. But I think in general, I'm interested to learn how do you weigh a good kicking game versus a good punting game if one is a weakness and one is a strength? And then on top of that, how do you weigh that against one person like Browning or like for Hawaii, Matthew Shipley, that handles both roles?
Yeah. Is it better or not as good?
Well, how did you make those decisions?
I'm trying to remember. I know you got Brandon Taunt in Nevada, who's just a kicking machine. I think it would default Browning because he's that good, and he got five first place votes. It is hard. I think I would say you're a better football player if you could do more than one position. So if you're, say, a pass catching running back, or if you're a receiver who returns kicks, or a defensive back who returns punts, I think that gives you an edge over your counterparts. And so if you can do both, you're a better athlete. So that kind of starts with, and you're good enough to do two positions. There's guys who just kick the ball off. That's all they do. They're the kickoff guy. And maybe the deep field goal kicker if need be for like Hail Mary kicks from 50 plus yards. So I think it leans toward, if you can do more than one position, you're a better football player and you got a better position group. However, to play the other side, that means, well, maybe you don't have a backup anywhere. Your backup's not as good to take over one of those duties that you're okay. Because remember, they had, even with Matt Araiza, he was the punter, but he also did random field goal kicking. But it wasn't really just for, because he had the leg to kick those super long ones to attempt to make those long kicks. But
had the willingness to attempt it too.
Yeah, it's like, why not? Let's give it a try. See what happens. I went that route. What was your path? Did you want more depth-wise, or were you like, whoever does the job well, the best, regardless if it's one or two guys?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I necessarily valued kicking over punting, per se. I think I tried to, in my head, like, you know, how do you weigh someone? So, like, for example, you take someone like Jonah Dalmas, who's obviously a very good kicker, versus, someone like Aaron Rodriguez for New Mexico, who's obviously maybe the best punter in the Mountain West. Okay, well, between those two teams, between those two things, like, how do you weigh those off of each other?
Yeah, right,
like, off the top of your head, who would you say is better?
I don't know. Who do you want? Do you want the guy to score points or punch the ball away? Phillips the field.
And right? To refresh your memory, you had Boise State third and New Mexico sixth.
Okay. Well, you had the wrong information in New Mexico, so that could change my vote, man.
Yes, I know. I apologize.
Kidding. I don't know. It's because it can be only weapons. Like, if you punt a lot, it's probably because your offense isn't very good. If you're kicking a lot of field goals, it could be the same thing. Your offense stalls at the 30-yard line. I honestly would, I don't know. What would you prefer? Here's the thing. It depends. Is your team good or not? That's also the consideration. I probably prefer the better field goal kicker. Because if you have the better punter, I know it's like Ryan Stonehouse or Matt Ryza for San Diego State was better than CSU during that time. Obviously, they've been much better for a while compared to the Rams. That's a real weapon when he's punting. If you have a good team and you punt, say, three times a game, I don't know. Is that considered a lot? A couple times. Like, less, obviously less than five. Like, two or three is a good kind of thinking. That's a pretty good offense if you're only putting that a few times. So do you want a guy who kicks the ball a couple times a game and just boots it deep and flips the field? Or do you want a guy who, crap, our offense stalls, we got to score points? I kind of lean toward wanting points.
Yeah, I get that.
But it's, Because remember, I'm the offensive guy for people who don't recall.
That's true.
But I just think, like, what's more valuable, points or flipping the field? I think you win by scoring points. I'd kind of put a slight edge towards the better field goal kicker.
I can get behind that.
It's a conundrum. It's like, it's pick your poison, not poison, but pick your, I don't know what. Do you want the, I try to do a good analogy of food-wise. I'll probably just butcher it, but it's I don't know. You just pick what you want. It's like, if both are good, it's helpful, but one's a little bit better than the other one. And I think points is better because that's how you win football games.
Gotcha.
It's all in there. Anything else to add about special teams or anything else overall we need to get to? Because we're kind of exceeding our time limit here.
Nah, I think we're pretty much all set on this.
All right, so if you complain about a ranking, first off, Matt, how many, like, what's posted so far? Because you've been posting the composites of these. Kind of where are you at right now, what people could expect? Or
So there's a couple more. I'm trying to knock out one per day. So we're recording this on Monday the 15th. So as of right now, you can read the rankings for the running backs, pass catchers, offensive line. I just posted the defensive line today, I believe, linebackers, and specialists. So we still have the secondary, quarterbacks, and then the overall rankings.
Okay, look out for that. And then I think next week, are we going to do our road trip next week? Is that a good plan thing to do since I just threw it out there?
Yeah, we could do that. And then, of course, you know, I would recommend, as always, keeping it locked to MW Wire because we got more thought exercises like this coming down the line. Got another one. Cool. Going to try and roll it out if I can get the other writers on board by the end of the month.
Yeah, I got a couple too I'm working on. My schedule's finally slowing down for other stuff, so I'm going to do a few things I mentioned last week, like going through FPI a bit more, SP Plus, going to figure out where teams stand potentially. So we'll get some stuff going on because we're literally like we're not looking back at last year, very little now. Going forward, we'll have just kind of, we might have like, I think your thought exercise, like best teams from the divisional era, we're still maybe not promising folks that could be out there. That could be something fun to look at, but there'll be some interesting stuff going out the next little bit as we kind of look at big picture stuff and kind of slowly move toward 2023 football season. Because media day is what, 9 weeks away, if I'm correct on that?
Close enough.
Just over 2 months. We're getting there. So we'll see you next time. Check us out, MWR.com, Twitter, MWC Wire. And just hey, if you want us to talk about something, let us know and we'll figure it out and give you what you want. That's what we're here for. So we'll see you next week, everybody.